Hey everyone, welcome back, ready for another deep dive? You know, sometimes there are those topics we kind of tiptoe around, especially when it comes to, well, men's health. It's like, picture this, you're at a barbecue with friends, someone mentions cholesterol, suddenly everyone's a heart health expert, right?
Yeah.
But bring up the prostate, crickets. But we're changing that today. We're diving deep into prostate health, and specifically, how to prevent prostate cancer. Because knowledge is power, and when it comes to our health, we want all the power we can get. Now, before we jump into the nitty-gritty, I have to share this story about a guy named Mr. Juan. You see, he thought he was doing everything right, living healthy, active, the whole nine yards. But then, bam, at 60, a prostate cancer diagnosis. It's a story that really hits home and shows that even if we feel invincible, knowing the facts and taking action is, well, essential. So let's get started, shall we? Before we talk prevention, what do you think most guys actually understand about what the prostate even does?
Honestly, it's surprising how often this little gland gets overlooked. You're talking about something roughly the size of a walnut, right? Sitting there below the bladder, playing a critical role in male reproduction. Basically, it produces fluid that nourishes and helps transport sperm. But it's more than just that biological function. The prostate's health is really intertwined with a man's overall well-being.
So it's not just a one-off thing, it's part of a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And like any part of the body, it can have its issues, right?
Exactly. And that brings us to prostate cancer. It's actually the second most common cancer among men in Brazil, only behind non-melanoma skin cancer. The National Cancer Institute estimates, well, it's a staggering number of new cases each year. What makes it really tricky is that in the early stages, you often don't have any symptoms.
So it's like a silent threat. That's why knowing those risk factors has got to be step one. What are the things that might increase a man's chances?
Well, there are a few key things to keep in mind. Age is a big one. Once you hit 50, the risk starts climbing. Family history plays a role too. If your dad or brother was diagnosed before 60, that increases your risk. Ethnicity matters as well. Black men have a higher incidence rate. And then there are those lifestyle factors, like obesity and being overweight.
So some things you can control, some you can't. But it seems like even with those risk factors, you can do a lot to swing things in your favor. Prevention is key, right?
Absolutely. This is where things get empowering. You can't change your genes or family history, but you can make choices to seriously lower your risk. It's all about being proactive with your health.
All right, let's talk about those proactive steps. What can men do to prevent prostate cancer? What does a prostate healthy lifestyle look like?
It's really encouraging that a lot of things that are good for you overall also benefit your prostate. A balanced diet is a fantastic place to start. Load up on those fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. There's this fascinating tidbit from a recent study about lycopene. It's a potent antioxidant found in tomatoes, and it's been linked to a lower risk of prostate cancer.
Tomatoes, huh? I can get on board with that. What about exercise? Does that factor in?
Absolutely. Regular physical activity is a game changer. It helps with maintaining a healthy weight, boosts your immune system, and lowers your risk for a whole bunch of diseases, including prostate cancer. Aim for at least 30 minutes of moderate intensity exercise most days of the week.
Got it. So keeping those bodies moving. Anything else?
You've got to maintain a healthy weight. That's crucial. And of course, avoid smoking and limit that alcohol intake. Those are big ones for reducing your risk overall.
It's all connected, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing lifestyle choices are just part of the equation. What about regular checkups?
You're absolutely right. Even with a healthy lifestyle, you can't skip those preventive exams, especially as you get older. Early detection is the name of the game when it comes to prostate cancer.
Okay, let's talk about those exams. What should guys be doing to stay on top of their prostate health? What are those essential screenings?
There are two main exams you really don't want to skip. The first one is the digital rectal exam. Now, I know that might sound, well, a little intimidating, but I want to put your mind at ease. It's a quick procedure and it's painless. It allows your doctor to actually feel the prostate, to assess its size, shape, and texture, and to check for any abnormalities.
I know some guys get a little hesitant about this exam. It seems like the mental discomfort is worse than the physical. What would you say to someone who's feeling a bit apprehensive?
I completely get it. But honestly, it's a few seconds of maybe a little awkwardness, and it could potentially save your life. Your doctor has done this countless times. They'll make sure you're comfortable. Trust me, it's way better than dealing with a late diagnosis.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that's the digital rectal exam. What's the other one?
The PSA test. PSA stands for prostate-specific antigen. It's a protein produced by the prostate. This blood test measures your PSA levels. If they're elevated, it could signal changes in the prostate. including cancer.
So it's a bit of a warning sign.
Yeah.
But when should men start getting these exams and how often?
That's where the conversation with your doctor really comes in. They'll help you figure out the best schedule based on your own risk factors. Your age, family history, ethnicity, all that plays a role in creating a personalized screening plan.
It's not a one-size-fits-all thing. It's about finding what works for you. But even beyond the exams, there's this bigger thing about breaking the taboo around prostate health, right?
You hit the nail on the head. We need to make these conversations normal, as common as talking about heart health or cholesterol. Men need to feel comfortable talking about their concerns without feeling judged. And that's where stories like Mr. Jawan's come in. They highlight the power of early detection and open communication.
I'm intrigued. Tell me more about Mr. Jawan. What happened?
Mr. Jawan was 60, active, when he started having a little discomfort while urinating. He just kind of brushed it off, thought it was a minor thing.
Yeah, we've all been there, hoping things will just magically disappear.
Right. But thankfully, his wife encouraged him to see a doctor. After some tests, he got the diagnosis, prostate cancer. But the good news, they caught it early and treatment was successful. Years later, he's living a healthy life, a testament to early detection.
Wow, that's incredible. It really shows how important it is to listen to our bodies and to get medical advice when we need it, even if we want to downplay the symptoms.
Exactly. Sometimes we need that little push, that reminder that taking care of ourselves isn't a weakness, it's a sign of strength. And I think Mr. Jawan's story perfectly illustrates that.
I'm curious, though. Mr. Jawan was active, healthy, seemingly. Was there anything in his lifestyle or family history that made him more susceptible? Or was it just, you know, one of those things?
That's a great question, and it shows how complex prostate cancer can be. While Mr. Jawan was healthy overall, he did have a family history of the disease. His father was diagnosed in his late 60s. So even with a healthy lifestyle, those genes can still play a role.
It's a reminder that even if you're doing everything right, genetics can still be a factor.
Yeah.
Which makes screening and early detection even more important.
Absolutely. Knowing your family history and talking to your doctor about it is vital. It helps guide your screening schedule and ensures you're getting the right care for you.
This has been really insightful so far. I'm feeling much more informed. I'm sure our listeners are too. But before we move on to the next part of our deep dive, I want to come back to this idea of breaking the taboo around prostate health. What are some practical steps men can take to open up these conversations and create a more supportive environment?
That's a fantastic question. It really boils down to fostering a culture of openness and vulnerability.
What do you mean by that?
Well, think about it. Men are often taught to be stoic, to hide their emotions, to tough it out. But that can be harmful when it comes to health. We need to encourage men to be more open about their struggles, their fears, their concerns. And that starts with creating safe spaces for those conversations to happen.
I love that. Safe spaces. How do we create those?
It can start small. Maybe it's talking honestly with a friend or family member about your own health journey. Maybe it's joining a support group or finding an online forum where men can connect and share.
So it's about finding communities where being vulnerable is welcomed and encouraged.
Exactly. And it's about making these conversations normal, talking about prostate health at the dinner table, at the gym, at the barbershop. The more we talk about it, the less stigma there will be.
It makes sense. It's about changing the narrative, making it clear that taking care of your prostate is just as important as any other part of your well-being.
And it's a journey we can take together, supporting each other along the way.
I love that, taking the journey together. This has been a fantastic start to our deep dive on prostate health. We've covered a lot, from the basics of the prostate to early detection and breaking down those communication barriers. But there's more to explore, especially when it comes to treatment options and the emotional impact of a prostate cancer diagnosis. We'll be back in the next part of our deep dive to go deeper into those topics. Until then, keep the conversation going, talk to your loved ones, your doctor, and most importantly, listen to your body. See you in part two.
Welcome back. It's great to be continuing this conversation about prostate health.
It is. And, you know, we were just talking about those barriers men often face when it comes to discussing these things. Why do you think those barriers exist in the first place?
Well, it's a bit of a tricky question. Part of it might be, you know, cultural, that whole idea that men need to be strong and silent, not show weakness or anything like that. But there's also, I think, a big element of fear of the unknown, fear of what a diagnosis might mean, even fear of the exams themselves.
Yeah, it's almost like asking for help is seen as some kind of failure.
Right. But the truth is, Seeking help and taking care of your health, that's real strength, not weakness. It's being proactive, taking control of your well-being.
It's advocating for yourself.
Yeah.
So how do we change that whole narrative? How do we get men to be more open about these things, especially something as sensitive as prostate health?
I think it starts with creating a culture of openness, a culture where men feel comfortable expressing their vulnerabilities, you know, without judgment.
Absolutely.
We need to normalize these conversations, make it okay to talk about their bodies and their health without feeling embarrassed or ashamed.
I love that, normalizing the conversation. It's like if your car is acting up, you take it to a mechanic, right? Mm-hmm. You don't just ignore it and hope it goes away. Yeah. Why should it be any different with our bodies?
Perfect analogy. And the good news is there are already some incredible resources out there. Organizations like the National Cancer Institute, INCA, they provide tons of information about prostate health, the risks, the symptoms, early detection, all of it. And there are online forums, support groups where men can connect with others going through similar things.
Yeah, those support groups can be so powerful.
They are.
Just knowing you're not alone.
Absolutely. Sharing those experiences, it's incredibly empowering. Helps guys feel less isolated, more informed, more confident about making decisions about their health. And speaking of decisions, I think it's important to acknowledge that even with all the information out there, navigating this can feel, well, overwhelming.
It can. It's one thing to know the basics, but then there's like when to get screened, what the tests mean, what happens if you get a diagnosis. It's a lot.
Yeah, it is. And that's why that support system is so important. Your partner, your family, your friends, a healthcare professional you trust, having someone to talk to ask questions, to bounce ideas off of.
It makes a world of difference. It's that feeling that you're not going through it alone. Okay, so we've got normalizing the conversation, finding those resources, building that support system. What other practical steps can men take to be proactive about their prostate health?
This might sound obvious, but pay attention to your body.
Right.
Be aware of any changes, even if they seem small.
What kind of changes are we talking about?
Any changes in how you urinate. Difficulty starting or stopping the flow, a weak stream, frequent urination, especially at night, any discomfort or pain, whether you're urinating or during ejaculation, don't ignore those signs. They could be telling you something's up.
So tuning in, not just brushing it off as, oh, I'm just getting older.
Right. And even if you don't have any specific symptoms, remember those regular checkups. That's a cornerstone of preventive care.
Speaking of checkups, let's get back to those exams we were talking about earlier, the digital rectal exam and the PSA test. We touched on them, but let's dig a little deeper, especially for those guys who might still be feeling a little apprehensive about it all.
Absolutely. Let's break it down and really understand why they're so important.
Okay, the digital rectal exam. It's not the most pleasant sounding thing, I get it, but often the fear is worse than the reality, right? What can you say to reassure those guys who might be avoiding it out of anxiety?
I understand the hesitation. I really do. But honestly, it's a few seconds. It might be a bit uncomfortable, but it could save your life. It allows your doctor to actually feel your prostate, check for any abnormalities.
The benefit outweighs the discomfort for sure. And as you said, doctors, they do this all the time. They're experienced. Yeah. They'll make you comfortable.
Yeah, right. Your doctor is a partner in this. They want you to feel at ease. Don't be afraid to talk to them about your concerns. Communication is key.
Okay, so we've talked about the digital rectal exam. Let's move on to the PSA test. What exactly does this test measure, and why is it so important for prostate cancer screening?
So the PSA test measures the level of, well, it's called prostate-specific antigen, PSA for short, in your blood. PSA is a protein made by the prostate gland, and a certain amount is normal. But if those levels are elevated, it can sometimes be a sign of a problem, including prostate cancer.
So it's like a red flag that something might need further investigation. But I've heard that PSA levels can be high for reasons other than cancer. Is that right?
That's true. Things like inflammation or an enlarged prostate, which is called benign prostatic hyperplasia, can cause elevated PSA levels too. So the PSA test isn't a diagnosis on its own. It's a piece of information, along with your age, family history, the rectal exam.
So it's about putting all those pieces together to get a clear picture. But I can imagine for a guy who gets that call, your PSA level is elevated. That must be stressful. What happens next?
It's definitely understandable to feel anxious, but it's important to remember an elevated PSA doesn't automatically equal cancer. Your doctor will likely recommend some additional testing to figure out what's causing those elevated levels.
That kind of additional testing.
Often, the next step is a biopsy. This involves taking a small sample of tissue from the prostate. It's examined under a microscope. It's the most accurate way to tell if there are cancer cells present. I know it sounds a little scary, but biopsies have gotten much more precise and less invasive.
That's good to know. But still, I'm sure just hearing the word biopsy can cause some anxiety. How can men manage those feelings of uncertainty while they're waiting for results?
It's a tough time, no doubt. It's important to remember you're not alone in this. Lean on your support system, talk to your loved ones, maybe consider a support group. Don't be afraid to reach out to your doctor with any questions or concerns.
So it's about acknowledging those feelings, seeking out that support, and having that open communication with your doctor.
Exactly. Remember, you're a partner in your healthcare. You have the right to ask questions, understand your options, make informed decisions that align with your values and priorities.
This has been incredibly helpful in kind of demystifying these exams and addressing some of those anxieties. But I'm wondering, what about the guy who has no symptoms, no family history, maybe thinking, do I really need all this?
It's a common thought, especially when you feel fine. But the reality is, prostate cancer can be silent in those early stages. You might not have any symptoms until it's more advanced.
Which makes treatment more challenging.
Exactly. So it's really about prevention, early detection.
Catching it before it becomes a bigger issue.
Think of it as an investment in your future health. Like, you schedule checkups for your car, for your teeth. Regular prostate screenings can help catch any problems early when they're most treatable.
It's being proactive. And that's a great segue into the next part of our deep dive. We've talked about screening, early detection. Now let's explore what happens if you do receive a prostate cancer diagnosis. What are the treatment options? What can men expect in terms of their journey, their quality of life? We'll be back in the next part to tackle those important questions. See you then. Welcome back to our deep dive on prostate health. We've covered a lot of ground, from prevention and screening to, well, the importance of early detection. But now let's talk about what happens if you get a prostate cancer diagnosis.
It's a natural question, and it often comes with a lot of emotions, fear, uncertainty, you know, even anger.
Yeah, it's a heavy thing.
But the important thing to remember is a diagnosis is not a death sentence. Prostate cancer, it's often very treatable, especially if you catch it early. And there's a wide range of treatment options available, really tailored to each individual situation.
Okay, so that's good to hear. Let's break those treatment options down. What are the most common approaches?
Well, the first step is to figure out the stage of the cancer. This basically means how far it's spread. Is it still contained in the prostate, or has it moved to nearby tissues or even other parts of the body? The stage is a big factor in deciding on the best treatment.
So early stage, that usually means better outcomes, right?
Definitely. The earlier the stage, the more treatment options we have and the higher the chances of success. But even in later stages, there are still treatments that can help manage the disease and improve quality of life.
So there's always hope. Okay, what other things do doctors consider when deciding on a treatment plan?
Well, besides the stage, we also look at the patient's age, their overall health, their personal preferences. For instance, with a younger, healthier man, a more aggressive treatment might be recommended. While for an older man who might have other health issues, a more conservative approach could be better.
It's about finding that right balance, isn't it?
Exactly. It's about effectiveness and minimizing any side effects. And that's where the conversation between the doctor and the patient is so crucial.
It's a team effort.
Absolutely. We want to empower patients to make informed decisions. Some men, they might prioritize aggressive treatment to really maximize their chances of a cure, even if there are potential side effects. Others might prefer a less invasive approach, fewer side effects, even if the chance of a cure is slightly lower.
It sounds like there's no one right answer for everybody.
You got it. It's all about finding what works best for each individual. So let's talk about some of those treatment options. What are the most common ones for prostate cancer? One option that sometimes surprises people is active surveillance. It's also called watchful waiting. Basically, it means we monitor the cancer very closely. Regular PSA tests, biopsies, but we hold off on active treatment unless the cancer starts to grow or spread.
So you're not jumping into treatment right away.
Right. Active surveillance is often recommended for those slow-growing cancers, especially in older men, where the risks and side effects of treatment might be more of a concern than the benefits.
So it's a wait-and-see approach. But what if active treatment is recommended? What then?
If that's the case, surgery is often the primary option, specifically a procedure called radical prostatectomy. This means the entire prostate gland is surgically removed.
So big surgery. What are the risks and benefits there?
Radical prostatectomy can be very effective, especially if the cancer is still localized. But like any surgery, there are potential risks. Urinary incontinence and erectile dysfunction are two possibilities that men should be aware of.
Those are significant concerns. Are there less invasive options?
Definitely. Radiation therapy is another common approach. It uses high-energy rays to target and kill those cancer cells. There's external beam radiation, where the radiation comes from outside the body. And brachytherapy, where we implant tiny radioactive seeds directly into the prostate.
Radiation, so not as invasive as surgery. What other treatments are there?
Hormone therapy is sometimes used. It slows the growth of the cancer by blocking the production of testosterone. Testosterone can fuel the growth of the cancer. And in some cases, we might recommend chemotherapy. That's to target cancer cells that have spread beyond the prostate.
Wow, it seems like there are a lot of options. But I'm sure each one comes with its own potential side effects.
That's true. Every treatment does. And that's why those open, honest conversations with your doctor are so important. They can help you weigh those pros and cons and make the best decision for you.
It's all about making informed choices. But it must be a lot to deal with, not just physically, but emotionally, too.
Absolutely. A prostate cancer diagnosis, it affects a man's life on so many levels. And it's not just about the physical treatment, it's the emotional and psychological impact, too. It can bring up all sorts of feelings, fear, anxiety, sadness, even anger, maybe a sense of loss.
So it's about treating the whole person, not just the disease.
Exactly. And that's why that support network is so important. Your loved ones, a therapist, support groups, connecting with people who understand what you're going through, it can make a world of difference.
It's about finding those sources of strength, knowing you're not alone.
And remember, medical technology is always evolving. There are new treatments being developed all the time with fewer side effects and better outcomes. There's always hope.
Well, that's really encouraging.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one key takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
If I had to boil it down to one thing, it would be this. Be proactive. Talk to your doctor, get screened, know your risk factors, and make those informed decisions that empower you to live a long, healthy life.
That's a great message. We hope this deep dive has given you the information and the motivation to do just that. Thanks for joining us on this journey, and remember, you're not alone.